Thank you so much for pressing play. My name is Kim Kardesha, and I am so glad that you're interested in listening to what the horses taught me this past week. And oh my gosh, this share, it has the potential to make a huge difference if we embrace and embody the wisdom and power in the message. I'm going to tell you a little background because knowing a few of these things helps make the impact and message of the story that we're telling even more profound. Often, my horses end up with a few names, those terms of endearment that just stick, like Petey is Brown Horse and Midnight is Pony Nose. I think absolutely my horse with the most names was the biggest contributor to this week's message, and his full name would be Sunshine to My Heart. At least, that was going to be his registered name, and he never got registered. But I thought it was too good of a name not to let him wear it anyway. I'll tell a little of his story, really his and my story, because knowing a little of the background will add to the depth of what he shared. And I'll tell a little why, but he's also referred to as Little Horse and Red Horse more than Sunshine. So my history, I spent a lot of time working at a dressage training barn. I was a working student. If you're not familiar with that term, it means that basically, instead of working for money, I worked for lessons and experience. Although I saw a lot of dressage that I didn't find appealing, the trainer that I worked for was a bit different, and I really resonated with how she worked with horses. And what I really ended up learning about was how to help horses in a way that I would describe as rehab. A lot of the work that we did resembled physical therapy. And now for me, that has spread into including a mix of aligning energy and releasing tension. I got at that time to work with a lot of horses that had issues, and I still do. They were either lame or a little crazy or both. Looking back, I see how invaluable this experience was, but for many years, I was looking at it as limiting, because what I really wanted to learn how to do was all the fancy stuff, all those movements and, you know, feeling all of that power, and the horses that I worked with just weren't there, and they might never get to that level as it can be termed in dressage. So this yearning would ebb and flow, but it really took a hold of me when I was in a coaching course and part of our homework was drawing our lifeline. And you know what? When you draw your lifeline, it ends. When I did this exercise, I found myself crying because I wasn't ever going to be able to do all that big fancy dressage stuff. So it had surfaced again. And I decided that I had to do something about that. Since then, I've really recognized, though, that doing those big, fancy dressage movements also meant a lot to me about the level of partnership that I would have with my horse. And although now I still think it would be really fun because I haven't quite gotten there yet, I've recognized that underneath that desire was something else. And I've been able to recognize too that that's a lot of what I already have with my horses, and we work together to build and deepen it. But back to this story and where I was at that time, I still thought that that was all that I wanted, was to be able to do that fancy stuff. So at the time, I thought I had two choices. I could either buy a schoolmaster to help me, you know, reach this goal, or train a young horse. And one of the deciding factors was the fact that what a schoolmaster cost and what I had to pay, there was a huge gap there. So I asked my instructor at the time if she thought that I could bring along a young horse that had the physical talent and the confirmation to those upper levels. And she told me yes. So this ended up in my buying a 2.5-year-old Oldenburg. This is why one of his nicknames is Little Horse, because he was very little when I got him, in my opinion. And he's a chestnut, so he gets called Red Horse often too, just to keep things straight, because I'm sure I'll switch between those two names as I talk about this message, and it's still the same horse. Like happens so much in life, things didn't quite go as planned. Just two of the wrenches in this plan were the fact that I became a mom, and also this young horse came with a habit of jerking a lead rope out of a human hand and leaving. Both of these unknowns impacted our journey together tremendously. And you know, I wouldn't change any of it, because this has sure been the path less traveled and has made all the difference. Becoming a mom certainly slowed the official training program that I thought I had. Pregnancy and a baby will certainly do that. And it also helped give me a new perspective and deeper understanding of riders with fear issues. By this time, I had already started working to help develop rider confidence, and I myself didn't really have a lot of fear around horses. As a teenager, I did Roman riding, where you stand on the back of two horses, 1 foot on each, and let me tell you, I hit the ground a lot. I wasn't scared of falling off. However, that shifted. It shifted in a big way when I became a mom. Now I was important to someone. If I ended up in the hospital, what would my daughter do? So that other issue, the habit my little horse had of jerking the lead rope and running, it had intensified and escalated. He was pretty much a master, and the traditional methods that I was incorporating obviously weren't making things better. They were making this habit more ingrained. And I had worked with some very skilled instructors and clinicians, and this horse could jerk the rope out of the hands of the best of them, which I guess in some ways it helped me feel a little better, because it wasn't just me, but I was also pretty distraught, because who could help me fix, so to speak, this problem? So I really had to shift gears. And even though I had done that considerably already because of these two situations, I recognized that I really just needed to throw the whole thing in neutral, you know, take all of the pressure and expectation off of the journey and the partnership, even though I wouldn't have used that term at the time. But I had to take off all those expectations, whether they were truly mine or some I inherited from an external source about, you know, at what age you should be doing what with your horse. I just let them all go. Not saying this was an easy process, but I knew it was what we both needed. The biggest one was no more expecting that I would be riding this horse, this dream horse of mine. So you might be getting the picture of how huge this was. I started completely listening to my red horse. My horses all live outside, so they don't come in at a certain time to be fed or live in a stall, which makes it really convenient and easy to catch them. And this has proven to be an interesting dynamic for horses that would really rather not be caught. I've had several of those, and no surprise that this horse was one of those. If I went out to catch my little horse, there was a 50-50 chance at this point that I would be coming back in with just my lead rope, no horse. With this pressure off philosophy, I started out in the field doing energy releasing work. No expectations at all that my red horse had to come in. So I'll fast forward a bit, not take you through all the steps of this, because the great news is after taking this approach, I now have a horse that will leave his round bale and come up to me when I go into the field. Sometimes he'll even trot or canter up, which is a huge change. And this is part of what helped me recognize too what really touches my heart about working with horses. In addition to the change of him coming up to me in the field, I now could work with him on a lead rope or lunge line and recognize when he was getting ready to leave and help him refocus and, you know, shift gears and stay with me, so to speak. I was getting much better at knowing and reading him, and his attempts to get away were getting less and less bold. Sometimes they were pretty half-hearted. We made tons of progress together with this. And the really cool part is that I finally felt like we were a team. Not to say, of course, that there isn't room for more, but still such a huge difference. Continuing with the message of the week part of the story, I'll go on to the part because now we have moved to a new farm. We're in the process of still building our rehab facility. So there's a lot of things, of course, that aren't finished yet. So the horses aren't yet out in the big field that they'll be able to get into. They have more than adequate room where they are now in shelter, but you know, they just don't have that ability to get in a good free run. So my little horse, he was starting to stock up, and I could tell that he was a bit off emotionally. And I know that's a pretty human term. If you like mentally better, you can use that, but you know, I do think that our horses feel things, and there is some basis to that because out in the wild, they communicate with each other energetically. So maybe that would be a better term, but anyway, I could tell that there were, you know, the essence of my horse just wasn't quite right. It was a little off. So I knew it would be so helpful to start taking him out regularly, but I was hesitant to do that because my arena area right now, it has no fence, no barriers, no walls with this horse that made leaving his mission. So you might have already caught something. The story that I was telling, that I was thinking about what we could or couldn't do, it was rooted in the past. I was remembering how things used to be and bringing them into the present. I was operating from fear, which, you know, locked me into that same essence that we had been in many years ago. And essentially, I was cutting us both short. Now, of course, I don't want to say that it's my goal to erase the past. It's very valuable. And the reality is that this little horse of mine, my red horse, he has a deeply ingrained pattern that he goes to when he gets stressed or excited. There are going to be times when it surfaces. The more that I am aware of this fact, this dynamic, and I don't put any judgment on it, no values on how we're doing as a team or my progress or his progress, just the fact that it's going to be there sometimes, the easier it is to let it pass and not internalize it. And if I don't internalize it, I don't feed into any of the drama. And I can usually redirect his attempts to leave. So I stepped into my courage. I edged out my comfort zone and haltered little horse to take him out. I stayed in the present moment, grounding and breathing with every step as I observed the horse in front of me. Because I knew that I had been caught into the old story, I recognized that it might take a little extra effort to keep myself in the present moment. So I brought my thoughts and focus into the present and could appreciate this horse in front of me. So that switch from being scared to being appreciative is a huge difference when I could release the pull of that old story. And you can probably guess, because I made a whole big deal in podcast about this story, that the outcome was positive. Were there a couple of thoughts in my horse's head about leaving? Yes, from the outside, it sure seemed they were, but they were half-hearted. I didn't put any judgment or emotion into them. I didn't, you know, pour any gasoline onto the fire. And when I saw them, I could calmly redirect his focus and keep mine in the present moment, and we went on. Because I brought my files up to date, so to speak, because I took info from our past, didn't get stuck in the story of the past, we had a really positive experience. It's amazing to me the effect that our words and thoughts have on our bodies and our results. Even though I kind of know this as an overarching theme, it still takes me, it astounds me sometimes how important this is to understand that we're creating our reality by what we think and what we speak. So I freed both of us from our previous story, and we were able to have a positive experience, a really great stride forward. A great reward for me to make all this worth it was witnessing the change in my red horse from me catching myself and making a correction. He is so much more balanced physically from getting out, and he has brightened up in his expression too, because we've been able to do it a few days in a row now, and it really was worth all this effort. A win for both of us, because I stopped telling a story from the past that was disempowering. So I share this with you to hopefully help you start to notice where you might be telling a story that doesn't allow you to shine brightly. And that's why we're all here, really, to shine brightly and have fun with our horses, if you have a horse. So Red Horse and I hope that you have a great week and will tell empowering stories, those that line up with your hopes and your vision. If you'd like a little more horse inspiration, check out our Facebook page at Hidden Promise or visit a website, confidencethroughconnection.com. So tell a great story, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye for now.